Okay, I'm not singing very well, and I can hardly hear. We gotta sing to the Lord. We gotta sing to the Lord. Happy day. We got smiles on our faces. More and more to it. Thank you very much. Mr. Guy, would you lead us in prayer? Amen. Thank you. And our next song tonight, you may be seated, is number 455. It's Not By Might. This song is not very familiar, so we're going to have Tears of play through it one time before we sing it, so you guys can get acquainted with the melody. Tonight will be number 556. Number 556. Oh, that will be glory. Thank you. chorus. We'll elongate the chorus a little bit near the end. So.
We know at the end of each path. So much. Well, it's hard to believe that the summer is almost over, and Brother Joshua Moffat is going to be bringing the word to us again this evening for the last time here, and he will be with us just one more week, and he'll be next Sunday and then a few days into the following week. So it's been a real tremendous blessing to me to be able to work with him, and has a real servant's heart, and I look forward to what the Lord is going to give to us from him here this evening. Brother Joshua, please come, and we're going to have an opportunity a little bit later after the service to take up a love offering for him and for helping his studies and his commitment to finish his senior year, and then like to head in towards pastoral ministry. So anyway, we'll have an opportunity that a little bit later.
Awesome.
Well, I'm excited to be able to bring to the word tonight, and I'm excited to preach to you. It is quite sad that it will be the last time, and there's a part of me that has been very sad about that. I mentioned to Mr. Brock, I did want to go back to John 15 and do the second part of that and do the second command. I decided not to because I kind of felt drawn, and the Lord led to kind of a different topic, a topic of fellowship. Looking at fellowship, and what does that mean for us, and what does that mean before God? This summer, I have been able to fellowship with Pastor Ben. Before coming here as an internship, I knew nothing about him. I didn't even know that he taught at my school before I looked into coming as an internship. So I didn't know what he was like. I didn't know his personality. I didn't know he'd give me such a hard time. Didn't know any of that. And then since coming here, we've been able to have conversation after conversation that has been encouraging and uplifting. And I would say that we have fellowshipped. And there is a bond, there is a friendship there that was not there before. And I want us to look in Scripture at 1 John chapter 1. So if you want to go ahead and turn to 1 John chapter 1 and really study out the idea of fellowship. We as Baptists love to have fellowships. We love to have potluck meals. And I remember growing up that one of my favorite Sundays was when the preacher would announce that we were having a potluck, because I knew that most likely the sermon was going to be a little bit shorter because everybody would be smelling the food and everyone was anxious to go get the food. So we'd rush in there and we'd get the food. And it was always such fun because we'd get food and then we'd get to talk and we'd get to fellowship. Problem is, I fellowship too much, and I was generally the last one to finish eating. So I talked too much and ate too little. But I want us to see that fellowship isn't something that's an option. It's actually clear that you must fellowship with other believers. And I want us to see that from this passage. So let's go ahead and read in verse 1. We'll start in verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. So we start out very strong, and he's talking about that which was from the beginning. So he's giving the divine history, and it's very clear. It's very clear looking at this verse to see who we're talking about. If you look at the phrase, word of life, that should kind of ring a bell to something that John has written before. And in his gospel, in the gospel of John, he talks about in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And that clearly was talking about Christ. So here again, we have 1 John. John is starting out and he's writing his epistle, and he mentions Christ and he calls him the word of life. The word of life. And this idea of life isn't new either. We've talked some about John 4 and Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well. And Jesus offered her living water. And here we see the word of life. So right off, John is saying, hey, this is about Christ. This is about his life. This is about the gospel. So I'm writing to you about the gospel. And then he's going to give us a couple of reasons. And I want us to focus in on the reasons why he's talking about the gospel. Because he goes through and he says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. John was an eyewitness person that saw Christ and heard Christ. He lived with him and he saw him. And we see he even touched him. It's very clear. He's talking about Christ and he's saying, all right, let me say that which I've seen and I've heard him. And now I'm going to tell him to you. Why? That ye also may have fellowship with us. That ye also may have fellowship with us. So the entire basis of why John is writing to them about the gospel is so that they can have fellowship together. One important aspect of fellowship, that this is foundational and it has to be understood right off the get-go, our fellowship one with another is founded on the gospel of Christ. Without the gospel of Christ, you cannot have fellowship with one another. You cannot have that fellowship that the Bible talks about. And we'll jump in and we'll see those different aspects of what does that mean? What does this word fellowship mean? But you have to understand that without placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and relying on him as the only way you can have your sins forgiven, you're not going to have this fellowship. You're not going to have it. And John hammers that throughout this epistle. And he contrasts those that have decided to accept Christ, those that are walking, he often uses the term walking in the light, he contrasts that with the idea of those that are walking in darkness, the unsaved. And again, he hits on that and he contrasts those two things. And he calls us to have fellowship with those that are walking in the light. And he's calling to us and he's calling, join us. John is writing to a body of believers and he's saying, come have fellowship. Come have fellowship with us fellow believers, the ones that also believe in the gospel. So we see, you must have fellowship, but that fellowship is by having fellowship with God, that is founded on a fellowship with God. It goes on to say that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. All right, so not only is the gospel the foundation for the fellowship that we have with Jesus Christ, but you have to have ongoing fellowship with God in order to have fellowship with other believers. Before we get too much farther, let's go ahead and define what is fellowship. What is fellowship? I love typing these words into a Merriam dictionary and just figuring out what do they say before I actually do more of a biblical search on what does this word mean. And I typed it into Merriam-Webster, and it gave me this definition. It said that fellowship meant a companionship, a company, a community of interest, an activity, feeling, or experience. It was a company of equals or friends association. I was like, okay, sounds pretty good. Where it got really interesting was when I looked at what did Merriam-Webster define fellowship as when used as a verb. It said to join in fellowship, especially with a church member. To admit to fellowship as in a church. So already, I was intrigued. Obviously, even in the world, even in the secular dictionary, this word fellowship is very connected with what the church is supposed to do. And why is that? And I went to look at, all right, how does the Bible use this? Strong definition for this word fellowship, which in Greek, just giving you Greek for a little bit, it's koinonia. I probably didn't pronounce that correctly. I apologize. But that is the word that this is focusing on. And it's translated several different ways. And Strong's definition is a partnership, a participation, social intercourse, to communicate, commune, distribution, fellowship. And I thought it was intriguing. Tonight, we are going to have the opportunity to do the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is often called communion. And one of the ways that the Bible translates this same word, fellowship, is it also translates it communion. So obviously, this term fellowship is a very close and connected relationship. So as I talk about fellowship, I'm going to use fellowship, relationship, or companionship interchangeably. And I'm going to use those words interchangeably. And it all carries this idea of a tight-knit group. So we see that our fellowship with God, our relationship with God, is our entire basis for a relationship with others. I have often, and I believe this is very true, and I have often heard that if your relationship with God isn't correct, your relationship with others is not going to be correct. And it's not going to be right. And I believe that that is true. Because as we see here, it says that you may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father. If you jump down to verse 6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, that's God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So you would think that if he's talking about God and he says, if we walk in the light as God is in the light, you'd think that he would say, we have fellowship with God. You'd think that would be the logical next progression. The logical end of that sentence is if we're walking in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship with God. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't turn that way. He says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So if you are walking in the light and walking with God, that is the basis for an outflowing of fellowship with those around you and fellow believers. And what's so cool about this is it should be a natural outflow. When you are walking in the light, it's not going to be something that's forced to then have to fellowship and interact with fellow believers, with other people that are also walking in the light. It's not going to be a burden. So this idea of fellowship is you have something in common. You have something in common. And what you have in common is the gospel. It's the gospel. It's that I believe in Jesus Christ, and you do too. And that creates a powerful bond. It's that I love God, and you do too. I've been listening to Pastor Ben as we've been talking to Naomi and James in marriage counseling, and one of the first things he said was, in your marriage, you have to keep it as a triangle. You two are down here, and God's up here. And what draws you closer together is as you love God. That's 100% true for marriage. Do you know that it's also true as we interact with believers? God should be here, and we're all down here. As we love God more and more, we're going to fellowship. We're going to become closer to one another. So the foundation, the basis of our fellowship is found in God. You know what else we have in common? We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. We have a common spirit. If you look in Ephesians 4, verse 3, it says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit. Praise the Lord. So we believe in the gospel, and God has given us each one Spirit. And that allows us to have unity. I don't know about you, but there are times that I can tell that is definitely true. I'll walk in to a store, I'll walk into a place, and there's just a different spirit. You interact with people, and there's a sadness, there's a selfishness, and they just seem like they're having a rough day. And then you run into somebody that's a Christian, and they're smiling, they're having a great day. And you can tell, there's a different spirit about that person. There's a different spirit. I know going door-to-door evangelism, whenever I would see something on the door, a verse on the door, I'd always be encouraged. Because I'm like, I don't know if these people are Christians or not. But if they are Christians, it's just going to be a nice, pleasant conversation. Because even if they don't want to come to VBS, or even if they don't want to come to Bethel Community Baptist Church, there's a different spirit there. It's a different spirit. There's a unity that we have. And all around the world, that same spirit exists. Which is why when people come, I think of the dorms, when different guys come in, there's immediately a connection, because that man has the same spirit, and I can call him brother. Because in Christ, he is my brother, and that's something we share in common. That's a fellowship that we automatically have. But continued fellowship with God is necessary for you to have that same rich fellowship with other believers. It says, if we say then that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So if darkness is over here, and you're walking over here, and God is over here and he's in the light, and the rest of believers are walking over here, what do you have in common? Where's the fellowship? Where's the relationship? Relationship is going to be broken. So as you're going throughout your life, you know what you have to do? You have to walk in the light. And there have been times in my own life that I've noticed kind of a break in fellowship. And I'll notice that when I go to church, I don't really want to talk to people. I don't really want to interact with people. I kind of want to just stay away. And every single time, when I search my heart, I realize there's some sin there. It's causing a break of fellowship. And I have to repair my fellowship with God before I can repair my fellowship with other believers. Ephesians 5:11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So again, he's having that idea. And verse 8, a little bit earlier in that passage, says, "For we were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are in the light. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." And again, he's pointing out that idea of, here's the light. Here's the darkness. Stay away from that. Because this is where you want to have your fellowship. This is where you want to have that common ground, that relationship. First Corinthians, and if you want to go ahead and turn there, you can hold your place in First John. First Corinthians 10, verse 17 actually talks about, verse 16 talks about that communion. It says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" That word communion there is the same word, koinonia, fellowship. So we could say, is not the fellowship of the blood of Christ? Is not the common ground the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the fellowship of the body of Christ? So what we have in common, is it not the sacrifice of Christ? He says in verse 21, "Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils." That idea of partaker is, again, that word, koinonia. So you can't have fellowship with darkness, with devils, and have fellowship with God and his people. They're polar opposites. Polar opposites. So obviously, we want to have fellowship with God. We want to have fellowship with God. And out of that should flow a desire to have fellowship with God's people. So I want us to look at if fellowship with God is the basis for our fellowship with people. How can we have that fellowship? Now that fellowship by joining together in the ministry. I want us to look at different uses of the word fellowship, and we're going to use 1 John as kind of a base camp to look at these different usages. So 1 John, it says, "That which we've seen, that was and declared unto you." So the gospel, we're declaring it unto you that you may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that you can have fellowship when you partner with one another in the ministry? Galatians 2:7 says they partnered, but contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Skipping down to verse 9, "And when James, Caiaphas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." So here we see a clear example. They partnered with them in the ministry. And that was that same idea of fellowship. We do this here through door-to-door evangelism. As we go out and as we do ministry together, we are partnering in the ministry. We are giving the right hand of fellowship. We're saying, yes, I am working in the ministry alongside of you. And that's that idea of fellowship. Based on the gospel, based on the relationship, based on the fellowship that we have with God. That we can partner in the ministry. We can also fellowship when we spend time together. Acts 2 talks about the apostles and talks about as souls were being added to the church. And it says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all, as every man had need. So very clearly from that passage, they were spending time together. They were living together. They were interacting with each other, and they were continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They wanted to be there. They wanted to be alongside of them. And they were listening to what they had to say. They were eating with them. They were praying with them. Spending time with them. I was thinking of different ways that we do this in our own church, and I thought of the men's prayer breakfast, of how we'd gather together and we'd have that time of eating and prayer. Do you know that's fellowship? That's fellowship. That's not just something that we do just so all the guys can come out and eat biscuits and bacon. That's not the whole point of it. It's really good, but that's not the point of it. The point of it, so we can have that fellowship. We can have that koinonia, that common coming together, gathering ourselves together in prayer. Another example of fellowship is we are to help one another with our day-to-day needs. In 2 Corinthians 8:4, it says, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to the saints. The use of fellowship there is clearly they were giving a gift, a monetary gift, to other saints. And that was their fellowship. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, a word koinonia, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So again, this idea of you're doing something, you're actively sacrificing, you're giving, whether that's monetary or in action, and you're doing it to others, and you're ministering to their needs. That's also fellowship. A commentator said on this, he said, we must, according to our power, communicate to the necessities of the souls and bodies of men, not contenting ourselves to offer the sacrifice of our lips, mere words, but the sacrifice of good deeds as well. So we see, fellowship doesn't just mean that we have a relationship. It doesn't just mean I come in Sunday morning, I shake your hand, I say hi, I ask you how your day is going, and that's it. That's not what just is meant by fellowship. It has this idea of you're joining in together, you're working together, you're serving together, you're spending time together, you're praying together, and you're giving to each person as they have need. I was thinking again of how do we do this in our own church? Give to missionaries. Do you know that that's an idea of fellowship? It's an idea of fellowship when we say, yeah, we want to take you on. We want to support you. We want to communicate to you and take care of your needs. And we take them on and we want to have that fellowship with them. That's why it's so important for us to hear what that missionary is doing. Because there should be a bond there. There should be a relationship there that we know, hey, we're taking care of you. We're in this together. We're working on this together. How are things going? It has that idea of fellowship. all throughout Scripture, talks again and again, bringing up these different aspects of fellowship. So he gave the first reason. He said, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. So he's tying this back in. He's tying this idea of this joy being full back in. And do you realize that we can have fellowship because we have a common joy? We have a common joy. Each believer has experienced the transforming and rescuing power of the gospel. And that should create in us a different heart, a changed heart, a heart of joy. Each of us have received the fruit of the Spirit because the Spirit is inside of us. One of the fruits of the Spirit is that joy. And we have that in common. And he's writing unto them, and he's saying that your joy may be full. Why is he saying that their joy may be full? He's writing this, and all throughout here, again and again and again, John will emphasize the importance of having a fellowship with the Father, having a relationship with the Father. 1 John 2:24 says, let therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. I could read verse after verse after verse after verse that throughout 1 John, he emphasizes again and again, going back to that relationship that you have with the Father and talking about how you can continue with him. You can abide in him. You can walk with him. And he's writing that your joy may be full. So why is he writing that your joy may be full and then giving us a whole book telling us again and again, stick with God, stick with the Father, walk closer with him. Don't go into the darkness. Walk in the light. Because we need it. We need that encouragement. I thought of Philippians 1. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel. What do you know? That word shows up again. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So again, we see that aspect of you have fellowship because of the gospel, because of what you've heard, because of Christ and the work that he did on the cross. We have something in common. But guess what? We still need the gospel. We still need that truth. We still need to be going back to that foundation on a day-to-day basis, because the good work which Christ has begun in us, it's not finished yet. Do you know that one day we're going to have a perfect fellowship with God? A perfect fellowship with God. And we don't have that yet. Says if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So it's very clear. We sin and still sin. And when we sin, we break that fellowship with God. We break that fellowship with God and we're walking away from him. We're walking into darkness. And we have to remember that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And at that point, that fellowship is restored. And once again, we can walk in the light. We can have that fellowship with him. That's what John is writing about. He's telling you, I'm writing these things so you can have that joy of walking with God, of having a continual fellowship with Him, of abiding in Him, of continuing in Him. And that's the joy that can be filled. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. God wants us to be changed. We're not perfect yet. If you haven't realized that, look around. We're not perfect yet. And John's writing, and he's saying, you still need this. You still need this. And he wants to encourage them, and he wants to tell them, fellowship with God is so worth it. So worth it. That's where you'll find your joy. It's where you'll find your satisfaction. It's where you'll find life. Talks about having eternal life. You can have that life now. You can have that eternal life now. It's found in a fellowship with God. It's found in a fellowship with God. And that common joy allows us to look around at each other as we're coming together and to encourage each other as we grow. As God takes something out and he says, hey, that doesn't reflect me. That doesn't show off my glory. And he puts something back in. God tells us to encourage one another. He tells us to build one another up. That's another aspect of fellowship. That companionship of we get to walk alongside one another. One of the coolest things ever is when you have a young Christian in the faith and they come to you and they ask you, what about this? What does the Bible say about this? And you're able to open the Word of God. You're able to show them, yeah, this is what God said about that. And you see them grow. You see their relationship, their fellowship with God become closer. That is so encouraging. And that's a joy that we get to have, a common joy that we get to have, of encouraging each other to grow, to have fellowship with God, to have fellowship with one another. So how are you doing in your own life? How are you doing with your fellowship with God? And how is that flowing out into fellowship with others? Because you must be fellowshipping with other believers. You must be fellowshipping with other believers. Are you joining in believers to do ministry? I'm not telling you that you have to be here every single Friday for door-to-door evangelism. But I am telling you, God wants you to do something with other believers. He wants you to be able to partner and give that right hand of fellowship to work alongside other believers. And that will encourage you and that will encourage them. Are you praying with other believers? Is there ever a time that you're meeting together and you're praying with them? Are you having that fellowship? Sometimes it's a whole lot easier to pray to God when you have another brother or sister in Christ that's praying alongside of you. And it encourages you to hear them talk to God. And it challenges you to hear them talk to God. Is that part of your life? Or are we too busy for that? You are spending your fellowship, you're spending your time somewhere. And clearly, as 1 John lays out, you have a choice of what you're going to have fellowship with. You can choose to have fellowship with darkness, or you can choose to have fellowship with light. So as you go throughout your week, what are you choosing to have fellowship with? There's a reason that we have services more than just all at once. It's because we need to again and again have fellowship with God, have fellowship with fellow believers. Because when we go out in the world, we don't have that fellowship with them. The Bible talks about cannot be friends with the world and friends with God. Can't do both. Can't have fellowship with the world and fellowship with God. So I would challenge you, find times that you can fellowship with other believers in these different ways. Maybe it's just going and grabbing a meal together and talking with them and being like, hey, what is God teaching you? What have you seen out of God's word recently? That's fellowship. That will strengthen, that'll encourage you. The whole point of this is the Father. The whole point of this is God. And every time we interact with each other as believers, and God is the focus, we are fellowshipping. We are fellowshipping. And it's encouraging us, it's growing us, and it's bringing God glory. Because that is naturally what He's designed to happen, that as we fellowship with Him, naturally out of that should flow a fellowship with one another. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the gospel. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. Thank you for offering that gift to us. And that everyone that chooses to believe on you, we're willing to save, and we simply have to call on your name. Thank you for that. Thank you for the fellowship, the relationship that you have given us, and that you have called us together and fellowship with one another. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to seek that out, to choose that, to desire that fellowship with one another. Thank you for the chance that we have, even tonight, to practice that fellowship of having you at the center. And because of the relationship that we have with you, we get to fellowship with one another. Thank you for that. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you very much, Joshua. And we are going to have an opportunity to partake and fellowship around the Lord's table in a few moments. Before we do that, we also get to participate in fellowshipping in regards to giving. And I'm so thankful for you and your generosity and heart for others. And I know that I need no admonition to you, but as the Lord has given to you, we get to give and be a blessing to Brother Joshua. And it's neat to, didn't quite finish. I know that the Lord's called him to pastoral ministry and the Midwest or Western states from Colorado, and has a burden and heart for that, and going to be going back to school to finish that and then on to seminary to continue that preparation. So your gift tonight will go to help him and to accomplish that purpose and that goal. And he has been a blessing to us here in the church, and jumping right in, and no matter what it might be, taking it on and taking it on with a good spirit. So I give him a hearty endorsement in that. So we're going to have a word of prayer. I'd like to ask Brother James Stark, if you wouldn't mind just praying for our offering here, and then we'll have that. For that, we're going to participate and take the Lord's Supper this evening, and I'd like to encourage you to look along with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23-30, as we read the instruction that we have for us in the church that God has given to us in regards to this ordinance. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 is where we'll begin. He says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, Whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. We see here that what we do is of immense importance, that we are not to take this lightly in any way, but that we are to take it with all the seriousness with which our Lord, what is the value of His body? What is the value of His blood? And the Bible tells us it is precious blood, because it's the only thing that could redeem a soul. And so God calls upon us to examine ourselves. And so I invite anyone here that is a believer in Jesus Christ and has followed Him in baptism by immersion, but also the requirements don't end there, but that there are no secret harbored sins in our lives, that there's nothing that is unconfessed, and that to our knowledge there's no commandment that we are unwilling to obey. And so if we are fighting and resisting against the Lord, and yet we take and partake in this moment of communion, we're walking in darkness, but we're saying, I'm walking in the light. In that aspect, we are deceiving ourselves. And so the Lord wants us to examine ourselves. And so we're going to have a few moments of prayer, and I hope that you'll take this very serious, asking the Lord. Maybe there's something that you need to deal with right away. Maybe you just ask the prayer, Lord, search me, O God. Try me. Is there anything that you would like to change in my life, and allow His Spirit to move in our hearts? So we'll begin to pray. Dear Father, I praise You and thank You for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Lord, even our transgressions can be washed white as snow. Father, we are ashamed before You, and we contemplate the selfishness of our lives, and the pride of our hearts, and how quickly we can take offense or seek for self-praise. How much of our lives is focused, bent inward to meeting our own needs, rather than following the example of our Lord, who lived for others. Father, I thank you that you are gracious. You remember who we are, that we're but dust. Lord, that you've told us that you have separated our sins and our iniquities as far as the east is from the west. And so, Lord, we praise you and thank you for the great encouragement that we have in your word. Lord, that we can know that our sins are forgiven as we've called upon you. So, Lord, help us as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, that we truly would do it in remembrance of you, praising and thanking you and fellowshipping with you over what you have given to us in eternal life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, I'd like to call the elders to come and to administer the bread and the cup. To ask Brother Matt Brock if he would lead us in thanking the Lord for giving of his body and death.
Let me thank you for dying on the cross.
Amen.
Come in and find this cruel death on the cross, the sacrifice of the head, the body, the back, the hand, the body, the first one that's here.
Amen. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." I'd like to ask the elders to administer the cup at this time. Josh Geyer, would you mind leading us in prayer and thanking the Lord for shedding his blood for us? Amen. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. And as we participate in this Lord's Supper, we are constantly giving out a reminder, Lord, we're not together yet, and we're waiting for you to come and take us home. And so we look to the past and what Christ has done, but we look to the future and what he has promised he will do as we live in fellowship with him today. I'd like to ask Brother Doug, if you wouldn't mind closing our service with a word of prayer.